Since the advent of abstract expressionism, followed by post-painterly abstraction in the mid-20th century, painters and other artists have been liberated to explore large-scale abstraction through expressive gestures, geometric forms, biomorphic shapes, minimal palettes, or new materials. Composed exclusively of works from the holdings of the El Paso Museum of Art, Amplified Abstraction presents all these approaches and more, revealing the variety to be discovered in monumental abstraction and highlighting its singular power to arrest us aesthetically, engage us viscerally, or tease us perceptually. The show opens on July 12th, and here to give us a preview of what to expect is Senior Curator Dr. Patrick Shaw Cable of the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hello.
I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I'm excited for this show because really this is your first big one, correct?
Yes, it's my first big permanent collection show where I came up with a theme based on what I felt was a really big strength of our collection. So I've become really excited as I've worked on the research for this show.
And kind of the way it came together was kind of neat too, right? I mean,
yes, in terms of budgets and timing, we were going to do a loan show, but we weren't sure how much the shipping was going to be. So we decided, let's come up with a permanent collection show. So I went down to the vault, and I was considering two other themes from the get-go, but this was always at the top of the list based on it being a real strength of our collection. And I've really come to know a lot of these works and artists a lot more through working on this show, so I'm really excited about it. It's real. And that, again, is a theme. Most of the artists in this exhibition have Texas connections. Plenty of really important artists like Margot Sawyer, who recently won an award, Joe Hovel, Chuck Dugan, Vincent Falsetta, Vernon Fisher, but plenty of others. So it really is a chance also to celebrate a major strength of our contemporary collection, which is Texas artists.
And tell us, I mean, I've had the privilege of being back there in your art storage, but it's kind of neat. I mean, how do you dive in there and kind of find the pieces? And what does the process look like when you're pulling together a show like this? Does it call you, or did you have the idea before you went in searching, or in searching you found the idea?
In searching, I found the idea. And that's a good question, because I had been down to the vaults plenty of other times for other reasons, sometimes just to find one work. But this time I went down there specifically to revisit and look at everything with the concept of coming up with a show selected exclusively from the holdings at the El Paso Museum of Art. So this was a theme. My academic specialty was actually 19th century, early 20th century art, especially European. So this theme I wouldn't necessarily have thought of naturally if I just thought, what kind of show do I want to do next? But again, I was thinking of our permanent collection. So that's what was refreshing too, to have it a relationship between me and the permanent collection and really discovering this strength in the collection and deciding to showcase it.
And there's a lot of familiar names. Donald Judd, we get to see one of his pieces, which is really exciting.
And then there's other artists now associated with Marfa, Charles Mary Kubricht. She spends at least part of her time in Marfa, and some of the other artists are still living that are in Marfa thanks to his having made it so famous as an artist colony.
And I also noticed there's a piece in there by Carlos Gutierrez, who's still in town.
Yes, it's Nine Pink Squares, which is a wonderful work. I have an extended label in the show for that work. But it's this monumental plexiglass-covered fiberglass insulation work. So it's pink insulation that he puts inside these squares of plexiglass, and there's nine of them arranged in a grid on the wall. So for me, it's an interesting blend of minimalism, that very reductive industrial materials used by minimalists like Donald Judd, but then it's sort of subverted because of this pink fiberglass insulation with its very irregular texture and the pink fleshy tints gives it kind of an organic quality, even though it's very minimalist and geometric on the other hand.
And far from being organic at that.
Yes.
So there's also this other piece that looks really interesting to me that kind of looks like a giraffe.
Yes.
Is it paper? I can't quite tell looking from the images.
It is paper.
It is.
And it's monumentally scaled origami, which brings up another issue that I found interesting that I was reminded of working on this show. We usually think of abstraction as the opposite of representation. But then you have examples of abstraction since prehistoric cave painting that are simplifications from reality. So origami is a perfect example of that. And this guy, Robert Lang, he's an artist mathematician in California, and he's world renowned for his monumentally scaled origami. In fact, our museum store a few years ago, before I came here, they actually had him come out and give a presentation where he created giraffe. And then some really important patrons of the museum, faithful patrons, Susan and Richard Moore, they donated that work to the museum. And that's an example of a work that I almost was considering, should this be in the show or not? Because origami, typically, you don't see on permanent display in a lot of art museums. But it's a particular kind of art, so it kind of opens the definition of art. And I thought in this context, it would be a perfect time to bring the giraffe out and let him or her, he or she, have a say in the show as well.
I'm excited about it because I was looking through and I'm like, is this a gigantic paper giraffe? Is this for real?
And I thought it would make it more engaging too. For one thing, it shows a particular kind of abstraction, again, simplification from reality. And this is a perfect example thereof. And then I thought it would make it more engaging for a broader audience to have something like that, more fun in the show as well.
So can you take us to abstract school? I know you divided this show into four themes.
Four, yes.
Can you walk us through and just kind of give us a theme and an explanation
Sure.
so that we kind of know what to expect when we walk through those doors? Let's start with the first one, just gestural. Am I saying that right?
Yes, gestural abstraction. And a lot of those works, most of those works, well, in fact, all of them to some degree or another, relate either to abstract expressionism or what was the European counterpart to that after World War II called Art Informel. But then we have contemporary artists who are still using the abstract expressionist mode to express themselves. And that's really the main gist of the show, to really invite viewers to discover or be reminded of that special relationship you can have as a spectator with large-scale abstraction. So I start, the first work is dated 1959 up to the present day. So it really features what happened after World War II, the broad currents in monumentally scaled abstraction, starting with abstract expressionism, gestural abstraction. And then I have a section on elemental geometry, so geometric forms, and a section I decided to include called Cubist Legacies, and then finally the Elusive Abstract. But a lot of these works are so rich that they could almost cross over between themes, yes.
Speaking of elemental geometry, these are those linear works
yes.
that we see?
Some of them very much based on the grid being an important feature of a lot of modernist art throughout the 20th century. And then some really large-scale configurations of just one or two basic geometric shapes, but then others have an optical illusion effect that looks back to op art and are made up of smaller components. And that's something I rediscovered working on that particular section, that you might think of geometry, just simple geometry, as kind of limiting. But really, there's so many approaches you can take with geometric abstraction, and it's really revealed in the show.
There's this piece here that just keeps catching my eye by Vernon Fisher. Can you talk to us about it?
And I really like that work.
It's gorgeous.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. You're the art describer. Can you tell us kind of what it is?
Oh, sure. And it's interesting, too, for the show and also just as an object in itself. But it's an early work by him when he was 25 years old, and he had just finished, I think, his master's degree, and he's an important Texas artist. And today, he actually creates a lot of more conceptual pieces that combine in strange configurations, text, painting, and sculpture, and sometimes even photography. But this is an early, more student work when he was, and I write in the extended label for this particular piece, it's inspired by color-filled painting, which was one of those early types of large-scale abstraction that followed, was part of abstract expressionism, but then sort of evolved in its own way. So specifically, the circle paintings of Kenneth Noland. This mm-hmm. looks, I'm sure he was quite inspired by that when he painted that early work. But it's also kind of looking forward to his conceptual work because he calls it 1.0080, which I found out from the artist file that the artist had let us know at some point that that title is the atomic weight of hydrogen. So for whatever reason, he decided to call this abstract painting 1.0080 after the atomic weight of hydrogen.
I can't get enough of it. I don't know what it is.
And it's a great example of color field where even if you don't know the title or if you know the title, you can let your mind wander. That's what I love about a lot of these abstract works, and I hope a lot of the viewers will be emboldened to embrace that aspect of, you know, this large-scale abstraction that's sort of on our scale, but often invites you to use your imagination to help complete the work's meanings. You don't necessarily have to know the title in all cases, but it might remind you of something that wasn't even in the artist's mind, maybe. But it's just a new configuration of this beautiful color and form right in your face, and kind of encourages you to react to it.
Abstract art in general can have that effect, right?
I mean, yes, I agree.
It's not telling you what it is. You get to tell it what it is, right?
Yes.
So, around this show, is there any programming set or any special ideas set around the show that you can tell us about or that we can kind of look forward to?
I know our education department has a lot of, it'll be happening at the same time as a lot of our summer camps. So they're having a lot of camps devoted to the idea of abstraction and creating abstract work. So that's one thing at least.
Very cool. Any more origami in our future, considering the giraffe is here?
Possibly. I think the store's considering maybe contacting Robert Lang again.
That would be great.
Because I heard that was a very popular program.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once any kid or even adults, once you discover origami, that's it. Every piece of paper looks like this could be something, you know? So, Patrick, tell us again, when does the show open? How long will it run? And any parting words for anybody that wants to catch the show?
It opens July 12th, which is coming up soon. And we'll be up through October 11th.
And there's a free entry to the museum, correct?
Yes.
So no excuses not to catch the show that Patrick has put together. It's called Amplified Abstraction, and it opens on July 12th at the El Paso Museum of Art. Patrick,
yes.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.